Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because I have with me Marlene Chisholm. She has her second book just hitting the shelves at this time on leadership. It's called No Drama Leadership, How Enlightened Leaders Transform Culture in the Workplace. And she is one of the top workplace experts, and we are so thrilled to have you here, Marlene. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Vicki.
I'm so excited to talk with you about the book because you have endorsements, including people like Marsha Goldsmith, who is like one of the top leadership experts in the entire world. So it's just really exciting that you're breaking with this great information at a time when we really need it most. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to the workplace arena as an expert.
Okay, well, I'll go back just a one book, and that'll be the bridge, and then I can go back further if you want me to. But when I authored Stop Workplace Drama with Wiley, it became pretty popular, and I started to realize that the people that were really getting a lot of value out of it were administrators, they were managers. It was people that a lot of times don't get a lot of leadership training for whatever reason. Maybe it's a small office, or maybe it's within the corporation, but it's middle-level management. And I started seeing that, you know, with the opportunities I was getting in speaking, coaching, consulting, and training, it was at that level, and I didn't plan on that, but that's what happened. And it really opened up a dialogue, and so I knew that the next level, the next book for me, needed to be really specifically speaking to the higher level, but a book that any level within the organization could read. So that's what brought me to No Drama Leadership. But what brought me to the work that I do overall was through my experience of working for 21 years in a job where I didn't feel fulfilled, and I was going through what I call the three life tragedies. Those tragedies being, you know you want something more, but you don't know what it is. The second tragedy being, you know what it is, but you don't believe it's possible. And the third tragedy being, you know what it is, you believe it's possible, but now you have to be willing to take action. And it was in that those three life tragedies that I started getting clear on what I wanted. And I ended up, you know, leaving that job of 21 years and, you know, finishing my bachelor's degree late in life. I was 40 when I started this career. And then going on to get a master's, and I remember one of my professors saying, this body of work that you're doing here to complete your master's degree could end up being a foundation for a book, and you could be like Stephen Covey, or you could be, you know, one of the thought leaders. And it just sparked something in me, and actually, that's kind of what happened.
That's so incredible. Tell us a little bit more about the book itself and what you hope it will do for people on every level of management and leadership.
Well, what I hope it will do is enlighten individuals in the workplace to understand what's going on. And one thing that's going on is that the middle level and the beginning levels of leadership, which we call supervisors, managers, we call different things. First of all, we need to start considering them to be leaders because they're actually the ones carrying out the strategy. And if they don't understand that they are a leader, that they are leading other people, that creates what I call an identity crisis. And in that identity crisis, they still associate more and connect more with the employee level. They don't really see themselves as making leadership decisions. And so that is hurting not only our companies, but our country. We need more leaders. We need people to start seeing themselves as leaders, seeing themselves as empowered. So I built this book to bridge the gap between the layers of leadership. And then some of the concepts in the book is really about alignment. I mean, alignment is a really big category in this book. I devoted a whole chapter. I'm making a bold statement that if leadership is about anything, it's about alignment. So my first three chapters, aligned, aware, and accountable, that's what I say is the cornerstone of enlightened leadership. So that's kind of a snapshot of the book.
Oh, I love that. We did an anthology book with Marshall Goldsmith about maybe 2 years ago, and it was so interesting because I love what you're doing, because everyone plays leadership roles, but they don't always think of themselves as doing that. And I made the assumption, a false assumption, that the book would contain mostly information around corporate leadership, and it did contain that, obviously. But even Marshall talked about leadership roles with his family and his children. And we had about three different people that contributed information about leadership roles within parenting. And I just thought that was fascinating, or within their church or whatever. So I think the fact that you have a book that gets people to identify with the fact that they're in a leadership role is really awesome, because it's going to help them really fulfill their purpose that they may not even be thinking they have at this point.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, a real interesting piece came up for me when I was doing this work. I interviewed a lot of different leaders at different levels, and I got to interview Frances Hasselbein, who Marshall Goldsmith has said that she is the number one leader, you know, of any leader that he's ever known. And so I was excited to get to interview her. And she was a woman that was instrumental in turning around Girl Scouts many, many years ago. And she still now runs the Frances Hasselbein Leadership Institute, which she took over from Peter Drucker, who everybody knows was the biggest, you know, leadership management guru that we've ever talked about. But she says this, and I really have adopted her way of understanding leadership. She says that it's a way of being. So there are roles that we play, but in the end, it's the character and the beingness of the leader, and that we haven't been taught how to be. So a lot of my book is about that sense of about who you are at your core. And again, you know, that's why I say that leadership is, if it's about anything, it's about alignment. And most of us don't have a very good understanding about alignment. We talk about, well, you got to walk the talk, and it's about, you know, aligning and being in harmony with the mission. But truly, alignment is a knowing. It's an inner knowing as well. And if you don't have your own value system, it's going to be very difficult to align with a corporation and know when you're getting out of alignment with yourself, because self-alignment happens first, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is very interesting. And, you know, I'm sure you're very familiar with the terminology of mindfulness, too, and the idea that inner knowing of being present. Can you go into that a little bit and how that works with alignment?
Well, what I did is I wrote a chapter on awareness. So the first three chapters, aligned, aware, and accountable, for the purpose of my audience and the people that I thought would benefit the most, and we're all busy business professionals, and so, you know, we want to be deep, but not so deep that people can't absorb it. So what I did was I divided awareness into four domains so that people could really start to get a grasp on these ideas like mindfulness and presence and so on. And so I divided awareness into self-awareness, other awareness, cultural awareness, and then spiritual awareness. And giving examples in the book of what that looks like when someone may be very self-aware, and maybe to an overextent, they're so self-aware that it becomes self-absorbed, or they become arrogant, or someone that is so other-aware that they lose a sense of who they are versus, and I see this a lot of times with leaders, they become so consumed with others and how others feel that they go into rescuing patterns instead of empowerment. And so understanding the awareness and how awareness works together to give us that alignment. And then I took that risk and put spiritual awareness in this book because I think we're all ready for that dialogue. We're really scared of things like that, and we get it mixed up with religion and dogma and this and that. But what I want people to understand is that alignment truly is a spiritual awareness, because when you're very, very clear about your connection to the divine, to the bigger picture, to the all that is, however you see your place in the universe, whenever you start to understand that connection and you start to understand your connection to other people and your connection to your own truth, and you put that all together, that's where really wise decision making is made, is from that spiritual awareness. And it includes all of the levels of awareness, but that lets you know internally when something isn't meshing, when something's not right. And it's not just about a feeling, it's about a clarity and a peace. And I talked about these things a little bit in the first book, and I associated with getting clear with it's a peace that you feel. You may not like the decision, but in your clarity, you will have a peace. And so I think alignment takes us a step further to say that when you pay attention to your inner journey and you look at how your inner journey and every decision that you're making and every step forward, how that is in harmony with your stakeholders, with your customers, with the laws of the land, with your own values, that's what alignment is, and it takes awareness to gain that type of alignment.
That's so powerful, really powerful. So, Marlene, would you say that really great leaders are centered in alignment and then kind of reach out from that center to all the different aspects that alignment is required for?
I think alignment is the core of really good leadership. In fact, I'm making the bold statement that if leadership is about anything, it's about alignment. Because if you can't, I mean, we can, you know, we've seen leaders that, well, we've seen leaders like Hitler, you know, that they led, they influenced, and they got people to follow, but they were misaligned with the higher laws of the universe. We see people that lead and that we think are interesting, but they become misaligned with greater laws. Or, for example, Lance Armstrong was very clear that he wanted to win, but he was misaligned with the rules of the game. And we see Bernie Madoff was very clear, and he was a leader to many people for many years, but he was misaligned with the law of the land and with integrity. You know, we see John Edwards wanted to be a president. Very clear speaker, very clear that he, you know, what he wanted, but he was misaligned with moral integrity. He was fathered a child with one of his workers. So we see that people can be in positions or roles of leadership, yet be very misaligned. If we don't know how to recognize the signs of alignment, we follow like blind sheep to the slaughter.
Yeah, so interesting and such an important point. So what is your feeling about people that are maybe misaligned where their intention is concerned? Do you think that that can be turned around, or you just think there are some leaders that are well-intended and some that aren't, and it pretty much rolls that way?
You know, I love that question, because I think it's a lack of awareness. I think it's a lack of thinking strategically, too. For as much as we like to believe that we're all strategic thinkers, real strategy is about seeing the bigger picture and the end result, not about doing what feels good today, not about doing something that makes money in the short term at the risk of something bigger in the long term. So I actually, in a lot of my presentations, I talk about being clear on your intentions, because I think that's an area where we all kind of struggle. And one of my favorite spiritual authors, Gary Zukav, has a statement, and the statement is, if you don't know your intention before an interaction, you'll know your intention afterwards. So if we think we know, like, for example, we might, you know, buy a gift for someone thinking that we're being very giving. Oh, look at me, I'm so generous, I bought this person a gift. But if that person doesn't want the gift, doesn't like the gift, doesn't use it, and we get angry about it, maybe the intention was to manipulate so we would get a favor. Maybe the intention was to gain favor with that person, and it didn't work. And so if it was truly about just giving a gift, you know what, that wasn't for them, but I felt good about my giving it. And so we don't sometimes really know, or we're not honest enough with ourselves to examine our intentions. And so a method that I use for that is I call it going out of the right gate. And I was coaching an executive that was having some trouble with some people, and as he was complaining about the people and about his reactions in meetings and what was going on, I asked a question. I said, is your intention in telling me this to help you to fire these people? Is it to make them wrong and we can agree that you're right? Or is it really to build a better relationship so you don't have these problems? Because in telling me that, I can make you feel right about it. If you want to fire them, I'm not there to do that. That's not my role. I can't possibly do that. We can get clear on what we're spending our time on. Well, he says, you know, it's a great question. I would like to improve the relationship. And I said, so when they're interrupting you or saying some sarcastic remark at you in a meeting, what is your response? And he said, oh, I defend myself. And I said, okay, so I'm going to give you a little quiz. Let's pretend that you're a horse at the horse races, and you're going to run, instead of running for the roses or running for the purse, your prize, if you win the race, is going to be to get along better with these coworkers. So you've got three gates you can go out of. The first gate is called, you're an idiot. The second gate is called, I need to defend myself. And the third gate is called, I'm curious. I'm curious. So which gate do you need to go out of? And he said, I need to defend myself. And I said, no. You go out of the gate called, I'm curious. Tell me why you feel that way. Let me understand. Because when you get curious, that intention changes the dynamics of the conversation.
That is really fascinating. You know, I was just wondering, I love the title of your book, No Drama Leadership. How did you come up with that, and how does that apply to the content in the book?
Well, I wanted it to be a bridge from Stop Workplace Drama. So I wanted to use the word drama. You know, when people look for me, they know that word. I've branded that way. And, you know, I wanted this to be have a little bit of a spiritual flair. I wanted it to be a little bit, you know, it was a leadership book from a woman. So it needed to have the yin and the yang, kind of the hard and the soft, the business, the spiritual, because I see myself as a thought leader who builds bridges. So when I was working with BiblioMotion, my publisher, and we were trying to, you know, come up with a title, I knew I wanted the subtitle, How Enlightened Leaders Transform Culture in the Workplace. I wanted to be in the culture space, and I already had a book on stopping drama. And so I would love to take credit for the actual title, but that was due to my publisher's BiblioMotion. They said, No Drama Leadership. And I said, yes, I knew it. When it was said, I knew that was it.
Oh, wow. That's just fantastic. So what would you like to see the book do for the workplace?
I would just like to see some of these dialogues start to happen, you know, about awareness, about accountability, about seeing accountability differently, you know, about, you know, different dialogues about engagement. Because when we start to change the language, we're going to start to see culture shifts. So I really, part of the purpose of this book was to be a bridge builder, and I wanted the book to build a bridge between the layers of leadership, and by that I really mean everybody in the workplace, from the employee to the very top executives, because something that became very clear to me in my former job that I did for 21 years, and through now transforming my own life and the own culture of my own business, I realized that there's three different positions from which we see things, and I use this in Stop Workplace Drama. So if we're all on a boat, the shareholders or the owners, they want to get to the treasure chest on the island. The managers or the leaders want everybody to row harder and faster, and the rowers just want a better seat cushion on the boat. So we all see a different vision, and we have to all be willing to see all three places in order to really work together. The seat cushion is important. So is the treasure chest. So is rowing harder and faster. It's not an either-or world. It's a both-and world, and that's what I want people to start to see.
I love that analogy. That's
Thank
just
you.
Beautiful, really beautiful. So if people would like to improve their leadership skills at any level, do you have some universal tips that you would like to share that would help everyone regardless of where they're at and how they're leading?
I really do, and some of these are in the first book, but they also are in this book as well. And one of those is start practicing on your own clarity. One of the things that I said in Stop Workplace Drama is the one with clarity navigates the ship, and everyone else shovels coal. And in all drama, there is always a lack of clarity. And clarity, as I've explained earlier, is different than alignment. Alignment is about harmony, but you have to have clarity first. And so ways that we can get clear, for example, is with leaders, a lot of times when I know that they're not clear is when they complain about their bad employees, because I'll say, who's in charge? So the one with clarity navigates the ship. There's someone more clear than you, and you're allowing it on some level. So in your leadership role, learn to be clear in what your end result is, about what you want, about what you think, about what you believe in. Learn to be clear, because this is something I would challenge everybody listening to. Start to play with this idea. When you hear someone complaining, or even if you're meeting up with an entrepreneur or somebody that wants to start a business, if you ask the simple question at the right time, meaning that they're not wound up in drama and this feels like a slap in the face, but if you ask the question, you know, so what is it you want? Or so tell me, if you could wave a magic wand, what's your end result? Basically, you're asking for them to say, What do you want? And here's what you're going to hear. Well, let me tell you why that won't happen. Or let me tell you first about my background and about all the stuff I've had to overcome to get to this place. And you're like, you know, I don't need that. I'm just asking a simple question. What do you want? Oh, my God, you don't understand, though. You really don't understand where I've been, my industry, my life, my health problem, my issue. And I call that my shark. So that if you see a boat going to an island, the shark is in the middle. My shark. But you don't understand my shark. In your clarity, if you're focused on the shark and not the island, you're the one with the lack of clarity. And that's the problem.
Mm. That's just really, really amazing. I love how you take things that most people perceive as very complex and you are able to drill down on them in a way that it's very applicable for, again, every level of leadership, in addition to the fact that it's something that is really attainable.
Well, thank you very much for that. I enjoy doing that. I'm a deep thinker, and that can get me into trouble. But in that deep thought process, what I love to do is to take something that we all throw around. We use words like alignment. We talk about strategy. But the truth is, we don't really know what they mean. We haven't thought about it. We don't live it. We don't try it on. And when you start explaining it from the perspective of a cartoon or a story or an analogy, all of a sudden, I can make that applicable because it's easy and I don't have to work too hard at it. And I can use, you know, those examples in my language with my coworkers. I can say, are we rowing to the right island? Or why are we beating each other with the oars here? Or we can say, there's a leak in the boat, man. And we all understand that. If we start droning off into all kinds of statistics and numbers and difficult concepts, you're really going to get head nods, but people are just, they're zoning out.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Really a great point. Well, I know that your book, and I want to mention the title one more time to make sure everyone can access it, No Drama Leadership, How Enlightened Leaders Transform Culture in the Workplace. I'm sure that that can be found on Amazon and other major outlets, right?
Yes, I believe it's at, you know, all the Barnes & Noble. They just told me today that it was doing really well in the retail space, so if you live in a fairly good-sized city, it may even be at your local bookstore if you prefer to find it that way.
That is so wonderful. And if people would like to connect with you and tap into more of your knowledge, because we've had such a limited time to, I know we've just tipped the iceberg, how would they do that? Do you have a website?
I do. I've got a couple of websites and a phone number and an email, so I'll give that out.
Fabulous.
They can find me at marlene@marlenechisholm.com. That's my email. And, of course, that means you can go to marlenechisholm.com, and that's MarleneChism. There's also stopworkplacedrama.com with a lot of resources. And then if you want to give me a call, it's 417-831-1799.
Oh, Marlene, thank you so much for your generosity of not only sharing so much wisdom with us here and as well as in the book, but also sharing all the wonderful access to resources that people can just go and find amazing things that can be life-changing. And I really appreciate you being with us. It's just been so enjoyable.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, Vicki.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And until next week, everyone have a great one.